T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thursdays at this time, we do something called the multiverse. It is sports what ifs and what could have beens. It sounds like this.
Exploring sports' biggest what ifs and could have beens. Let's dive into the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Today's multiverse, Perloff, the what if, the what could have been. What if Caitlin Clark had decided to go to UConn?
Whoa, okay.
So what if she had, instead of becoming a star at Iowa and effectively changing the sport, the ratings are through the roof, just the attention on women's college hoops has never been higher. We know she's not the only reason why, but it's impossible not to understand the Caitlin Clark effect and the impact that she's had on the sport, right? We'd be naive. But what if she instead had gone to a place like UConn, where you are sharing the basketball and the spotlight with other five-star recruits who are, you know, the lineage of UConn, who you're actually playing with, how much more you'd have to share the basketball. What does the world look like, the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff, if Caitlin Clark, who's about to dominate our lives for the next month, what does it look like if she's a UConn Husky and not an Iowa Hawkeye?
Okay, I actually want to, usually I go first. I want you to go first.
I
will go second because I think we're going in different directions.
Okay, so in my multiverse where Caitlin Clark went to UConn and not to Iowa, I do not think we are having this women's hoops boom that we are seeing today. And unfortunately, incredible women playing at UConn is the expectation. The winning is a given. The talent level runs so deep that the spotlight has to be shared just by virtue of the skill level of everyone on the team. UConn has always had incredible low post presence too. A lot of teams have run through forwards and centers, despite the fact they also have some good shooters. Now, the last time UConn made it to anything but either the Final Four or the championship game was 2006-2007 when they made it to the Elite Eight. Like, this 15 seasons ago, we're just so used to them winning. There is something a little ho-hum. Oh my gosh, hey, another UConn women's winning season. Whereas Caitlin Clark doing it with Iowa does feel very different and very fresh. Let's take this UConn team, for example. Again, we're doing the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. The question is a what if or what could have been. What happened if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn and not Iowa? You have Paige Beckers, who's a great shooter. She takes 14 shot attempts a game. Aaliyah Edwards is down low. She has 12 field goal attempts per game. AZ Fudd, 13 field goal attempts per game. Caitlin Clark takes 23 field goal attempts per game on average. You always say she is the ultimate green light. If she's at UConn, you don't have the ultimate green light because you have all these other amazing players. I'm not trying to disparage the rest of the Iowa women's team, but you know, no one's playing box and one on UConn. You know, you'd get destroyed. So I think women's hoops is not in the place enjoying this boom if Caitlin Clark is at UConn and not at Iowa.
Okay, I disagree. Because in my multiverse, Paige Beckers cannot be at UConn. You can't tell me that Caitlin Clark is sharing the scene with Paige Beckers. Beckers is gone. If Caitlin Clark commits to UConn, Beckers says, I don't want any part of this, and she goes down to the SEC and dominates and does her thing. Paige Beckers had the green light, just like she's the first ever, you know, she's the first ever freshman of the year in college basketball. She came onto the scene in 2020, and she got all this hype.
Right.
I think the sport was primed for a hype star. Everyone was paying attention to her. All the NBA players were tweeting about her.
And then she got hurt.
Then she got hurt. Right. She was Caitlin Clark. She was going to be way bigger than what Caitlin Clark is now. And I do think, and it's funny that the man on this duo show, I think that college sports is really primed, women's college sports, because look at what's happened with college softball is all of a sudden really popular on ESPN, and college volleyball is exploding and also getting big numbers on ESPN, big numbers relatively, and they sold out that stadium in Nebraska. I think all college women's sports are rising. Not necessarily the pros yet. That might come down the road. So I think everyone was ready, and social media is born for this, to have a woman star. I think it was going to be Paige Beckers, and she was at UConn, and she had a total green light. She was doing all kinds of – she was scoring way more than all those other superstars had. She was on a pace that was completely different than Diana Taurasi and Maya Moore and Breonna Stewart. She had, was already setting UConn records as a freshman. So I think Caitlin Clark, they would have looked at it differently. And UConn's not UConn. She could have been – if Paige Beckers scores 20 as a freshman, I think Caitlin Clark could have scored 25. Is she getting 30? No, but you also get much more of a national bump by being at UConn, which is in many ways the capital of women's college basketball, right in the shadow of ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut. I think she would have been a different star, but a big star, and I do think that women's college basketball would still be very popular. It's not just Caitlin Clark anymore. We know, all these names now that I think casual fans did not know before.
Okay, it's a great point that maybe the sport was just ready for it. And Caitlin, ready for her. And Caitlin just sort of stepped in, but was a Paige, was a Sabrina Askew before her, who just had the shoot-off, you know, three-point competition with Steph Curry. And was at Oregon, and unfortunately, the NCAA tournament got canceled her final year because of COVID. So this is the multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. We do sports what-ifs, what could have been, and Caitlin Clark and women's hoops is going to dominate here for the next couple weeks. So next month, we just decided to ask, what if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn? Now, here's the thing. You assume that Paige Beckers wouldn't be at UConn if Caitlin Clark was at UConn. It would be redundant, I get it, but
obviously Caitlin Clark.
They couldn't share a basketball. It'd be too much.
That'd be too much. They're very similar.
Yeah.
In my multiverse, we can go any direction we want. Paige Beckers turns down UConn because Caitlin Clark is there.
Right.
In reality, Caitlin Clark would not go to UConn if Paige Beckers was there. But she had like a Bryce Harper feel for college basketball. People were waiting for her to get there, and she got there and hit it immediately.
Right.
I got to be totally honest. I watch both players play, and I don't know how they score so many points because they're not physically dominant. And Juju Watkins at USC, too, they're not the biggest, strongest players. They just sort of have the scoring mentality that you're born with.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, we laid it out there. I don't think that women's college hoops is enjoying this big of a boom if Caitlin Clark is just another great player at UConn, because we've had all these great players at UConn playing together, and the sport, while continuing to grow, never had this type of feels like one singular kind of phenomenon.
No, I absolutely understand.
And
you
think
you
that they were ready for this, that the sport's been ready for this.
Well,
you make a great point about volleyball and softball. Women's sports has been up overall, so it's a fair point by you.
Especially college points. And another multiverse about this, too. What happens? I guess the WNBA outcome is the same in both storylines.
This is an interesting one to watch. I think this is a fascinating case study. Does Caitlin Clark's fame translate to the WNBA?
Well, also, you said that she wouldn't have a green light and score all these points. Would she still be the number one pick out of UConn?
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, I think UConn players obviously get drafted high. Paige Beckers will probably be a top five pick this year. She's going into the draft. She could be two. For all we know. So I think the outcome is the same.
Is she going into the draft? This is her junior year, isn't it? I got to double check.
They're I believe, on the same track.
But didn't Paige miss a season?
Paige missed a season, but she can still, as long as she graduated, she can leave.
I've been reading some.
Does she want to leave?
That's a great question.
I'd stay.
I've been reading some mock drafts, which says a lot, the WNBA, and I've seen Beckers in the top five.
Yeah, I have too.
Okay, so maybe, I don't even know. Maybe she declared and I missed it, but
I don't think she officially declared.
Oh, and now I'm reading one where now she's not in ESPN's top, so maybe she will go back.
Okay.
Angel Reese at 7, by the way, who I assume you're saying she would not be as big a star as she is because she really got nationally known because of her conflict with...
Who, Angel? Caitlin Clark won the national title.
Right, but Angel Reese would not be a household name if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark. I think there's something to that.
Well, if they won the title, we're going to know who she is because she was the centerpiece on that title team.
Right, but she wouldn't be crossover. I mean, maybe people were talking about her on the Today Show.
A million Instagram followers or more. By the way, this is a conversation for another time. We're doing the multiverse now of Maggie and Perloff, the sports what ifs and what could have beens. Today we're doing if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn and not Iowa, would she be this singular star that she is now? At some point, we're going to have a show intervention for Perloff with the mock drafts. It's a problem. You wake up.
Wait, mock draft? Where?
You will pull your car over to the side of the road to check out a mock draft. It's getting to be a bit of an issue. Your friends and family are worried about you.
If you look at any sports website, they put up paywalls for the content they know people will pay for. What's the first thing behind a paywall? Mel Kiper's draft rankings, the mock draft. It is the thing that the internet was built to do, a mock draft.
I don't want to get sidetracked because today is about Caitlin Clark and the multiverse, but at some point we are having an intervention for Perloff with all the mocks.
Okay. Yeah. At the end of the day, by the way, she would be, if I was looking at mock draft right now in this multiverse, Caitlin Clark, number one, UConn. And something about Caitlin Clark at UConn sounds magical to me. I think that would have been a big, big stardom.
They did not make her final three, right? Didn't we look this up yesterday?
It was Iowa State, and then it was Oregon, which I think was...
I thought it was Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, sorry, you're right. Notre Dame.
Big
Oregon
program.
Was in the top eight. I looked at a longer list.
Yeah.
And UConn wasn't even like the extended list.
I think they knew she wasn't. I think
they
all knew
Paige was going there.
And they all knew she wasn't leaving Iowa. I mean, I think she made it pretty clear.
But
right?
A lot of recruits, too, like they know where people are going. So, like, they're both, right. You know, in the same year. She knows Paige is going to UConn. I mean, they're both kind of scoring guards. She's like, why am I going to go there? Yeah. You know, it didn't make sense in that regard.
No, I get it.
So I'm sure Gino would have took her. Gino will take all talent, and he would have made it work, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Actually, I think if this works out, I think they both play there. I think UConn wins, because UConn's been in a drought. They have not won a title since 2016.
Right.
And I think they win multiple championships, because when Paige Beckers gets hurt, you still have Caitlin Clark. And right. Caitlin Clark actually, I think, does become still a big star. But I think there's a novelty factor to Iowa that is lost, I think. Because I think when we think of big women's basketball, we just don't think of Iowa. I think we expect LSU, we expect UConn, we now expect South Carolina.
Yeah, Tennessee for so many
Tennessee
years.
Tennessee for so many years. Like, Iowa is just, they're clearly a one-woman show. And you watch them when they play, and it's like, you know, clearly this is a team that's not a stacked team. This is one player that's been carrying them and uplifting their team, and they help her as well. So I think that the novelty factor of it would have hurt the fact that you wouldn't have this.
That's what
big
I'm saying.
Boom.
Like, you look at the All-American list for UConn, it's Dead Sea Scrolls long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been so, how do you top what, you know, and even for a talent like Caitlin Clark, and I know Paige is doing an amazing job, and Breonna Stewart before her, and we could just go back through the list, and right now, AZ Fudd, and also looking at Lee Edwards, like, it just keeps, you're not one of one there. You're going to be one of many. And I don't think you have the same effect.
Yeah. Beckers is clearly one of one there now. I mean, and
she's still a star. She's awesome.
They haven't won a championship.
You can still be a star, but you're not going to. I think that's to EJ's point about the novelty of it. It's like, you know what they say in journalism school? If a dog, it's like dog bites man, that's not a story. Man bites dog, that's a story. Being great at UConn is not a story anymore.
Right.
It's the expectation. Being great at Iowa and taking them to the national championship game, that's different.
Right. And I think, I actually think if Caitlin went to UConn, not only would you not see the boom in women's college basketball, I actually think it'd be bad for women's college basketball.
Well, that was always the question. Was UConn bad for?
Well, yeah, because I think what's been great for women's college basketball the last few years is the parity that we've seen Stanford, that we've seen LSU, that we've seen South Carolina become a national power. Like, what's great about this tournament is that we're going in where Caitlin Clark is seen as clearly the best player, and there's no guarantee she's going to get to the Final Four. There really isn't a guarantee she's going to even get to the Elite Eight. Like, that's how good women's basketball has become. If UConn, in this scenario where I'm saying that Paige and Caitlin are there, and they have a stacked team, I mean,
are you seeing
multiple teams rise up the way they did in this last 4 years? And I don't know if you do.
By the way, isn't the problem with UConn is that they get blown away by these gigantic SEC front courts? And centers win these days? Like, obviously, Brittany Griner and South Carolina is huge.
Well, they've been getting hurt. That's been the issue. They've had injuries besides Paige. Like, yeah. They've just been hurt every year.
Yeah, AZ like, also has been hurt.
Right.
Yeah. The woman who got Cardoso.
Yeah, Cardoso.
Yeah, she's ridiculous. I mean, and Cameron Brake, like, there's, I feel like Iowa looks like miniature compared to these teams. I don't see how they're going to compete. By the way, and the other thing, too, about college basketball, there is another, the Haley Van List of the world who get a million Instagram followers. Sure. There's also sort of, there are some women who become marketing machines.
Sure. Like the Cavender twins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some of that going on, too. And I think Angel Reese is like that, too. Yeah. She's probably as good a marketer as she is a player now. Mm-hmm. So I just think there's a lot of stars in this sport. Iowa, one thing, they're like Villanova. Everybody, they have all fifth-year seniors, fourth-year seniors, so they just play smart. They're going to disappear after Caitlin Clark, right? I mean, they have any chance? Their whole team is, they have all seniors.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, so this is the Multiverse of Maggie and Perloff. We do this every Thursday at this time with different questions, sports, what-ifs, what could have beens. And today we tackle, what if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn, not gone to Iowa? Would we be seeing the same level of star power for her? Because would she have this like amazing green light that she has now? Would it stand out as much if you're just another great star at UConn, which we've just come to expect? Or would, as Perloff said, would they be better than ever? Would this be bigger than ever? Because the sport was ready and we were all ready for women's college basketball to take this massive step. Again, we're not saying it's just Caitlin Clark. We know that there's a lot more to it, but she's the star right now. 855-212-4CBS. You're welcome to weigh in on that. Coming up, we've got college football to talk about. I think it's the dead zone. It's not. Get to that. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. It's been a very busy day. Interesting multiverse today. Every Thursday we do the multiverse. What if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn instead of Iowa? Maggie says no green light for Caitlin. She's not as big a star in college basketball. Does not get this big bump, women's college basketball, that is. I say, you know what? We were ready to have a women's college basketball star. And why not UConn? Obviously, the biggest stars in the sport come from UConn. Still to this day, I think Rebecca Lobo was the first household name. She went to UConn. So I think we'd still be into it. So give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I tweeted something last night about college basketball.
What'd you say?
I was watching the game, watching NC State beat Syracuse, and there's a big man on NC State who is getting a lot of attention. DJ Burns. He's huge. I hate to say a little overweight. He's a lefty. He's super fun to watch, super big personality. I said, this is one of my favorite players. Everyone tweeted me back saying, oh, welcome aboard the college basketball bandwagon, Perloff. Now you're into it in March. That's what we do. You're allowed to jump on the college basketball bandwagon in March, right?
For you, it's egregious because your bandwagoning knows no bounds. You bandwagon on, you try to get on the Chiefs. Yeah. I mean, get out of here. You've tried to do really egregious things as a bandwagoner, so I think people are particularly triggered by you.
Well, this is the time of year, though, that you fall in love with college basketball players and college basketball teams. Now, we're all already fascinated with Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
Now it's time that we find some men to bring into this mix.
can the guys get a shot?
I mean, this guy, DJ Burns, is probably not going to make the tournament. But I think someone's got to emerge in this men's sport because Caitlin Clark is 20 times the size of any single men's player.
So to your point, though, I think that, yes, in March and the first weekend of April or whatever, bandwagon shaming is no longer allowed. I think in March and for the tournament, it's okay. Unless it's like Duke or something and then like get a life.
Mm.
You have to be able to glob on to St. Peter's. I can't have expected to be watching the Peacocks all year.
No, and that's why I'll like defend, unfortunately, people that are bashing Perloff a little bit. Because it's not like this guy plays for St. Peter's. Like, he plays for a major conference team. Like, so if you're a college basketball team,
EJ,
basketball fan,
Perloff is reading 20 mock drafts today.
I know.
He doesn't have time
and
to watch the ACC
DJ Burns
Network.
Not on him because they think he can't guard PNR. You know, like,
this guy, DJ Burns, kind of came out of nowhere because he's gotten red hot at the end of the season. He's not a household name. He's scoring 12 points a game, but he scored 30 the other night on national TV. It's senior night. He's a bit of a flash in the pan of late.
As we agree, disagree on that. I feel like I watched him earlier in the year, and I was like, who the hell is this guy?
He had a career.
You can't miss him if you ever turn on an NC State game. Whether he's playing well or not, he's a
But he scores 12 points a game and just had a career high against Duke. I would say his star has risen a lot. They were talking about it last night in the game. It's like, wow, this is incredible to see him have this late career renaissance.
I think people got upset because it was like a Magic Johnson tweet. It was like, hey, this is a DJ Burns guy. It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's like,
but I tweeted the same thing last week, so I have the receipts. Yeah. I go back to early March with this dude. There's a long history.
I mean, and he's only got like a 5-month head start on you, too. It's not like DJ Burns has been starring for NC State for the last 3 years.
But do you guys agree that can the men stand up in this room? We need a men star to rival Caitlin Clark.
Well, you had your guy, and then you bashed his entire fan base.
Dalton Connect in Tennessee.
Yeah, and now they've turned on you.
I don't know if Tennessee's going to get to the Final Four, though. And that's one of the things. Caitlin Clark had that run last year. It's just interesting to me that there are no men stars and two or three household names of women's
sports. Can I do a executive producer decision here, maybe? Can I do a back of the envelope next segment? I give you guys 5 men's players you should be interested in the college basketball tournament this year.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I think that I think you're not giving us enough credit here that we definitely, I mean, when you watch a Tar Heels game, all these guys we know.
Yeah, you know one. Armando Bacot, because he's been there since No. You know, Kyle Filipowski, everybody knows. But it is.
He's on Duke.
But yeah, I'm just saying.
You should be dead.
I'm just saying nationally.
according to Bogus.
No, according to you.
Nationally. Cormac Ryan.
No. I think nationally there are very few men's names.
And RJ Davis. I think you're not giving yourself enough credit.
I think you're wrong. I think the star power of these men is well below Caitlin Clark.
I think Pearl's right about that. Yeah. That's why
Caitlin Clark, okay, but she's crossed over. But that doesn't mean that we don't know anybody in college hoops.
But Zach Edey is probably the only one that comes close to being.
And I have no faith in Purdue.
Well, right.
Yeah. I think it's naive to say that the star power in men's college basketball is at a nadir. It is all-time low. Because of one and done, G League, Europe, maybe that'll change with NIL, but this is going to, I think we'll look back at this era of college basketball and say that was the era with no stars.
And that's, it's all connected. There's not anybody you're waiting to take first in the draft.
Yeah.
No one, everybody's with everybody moving around. There's no built-in storylines. But I think that this still is hopefully not, to this extent, not the norm.
Well, last year's Final Four was Miami, Florida Atlantic, UConn, and San Diego State. It wasn't like there were lottery picks all over those teams. It's really kind of, okay. It's hard for the casual fan to engage with these stars.
But can I take you back to, wasn't this just a year ago? If I'm looking at the Wooden Award finalists here, these are Drew Timmy, Oscar Tshuebe. I think I'm in the right year. Yeah. Keegan Murray. I'm looking at Ochai Agbaji. Yes, we all know these guys, and this is last year. So let's not pretend like we don't know who any of these two
Drew Timmy was everybody.
But Drew Timmy is an
exception. Stayed in college for 100 years.
I don't know if that was a who's who. You think Keegan Murray was kids all over California buying? He was definitely not a big star.
No, but they are comparable to stars 2 through 5 on the women's side.
Yes.
Like Drew Timmy and Angel Reese were not that different last year.
Yeah, but okay, this year.
Okay, I can give you
this year is where the dip is.
I can give you the Wooden Award finalists for this year.
And Hunter Dickinson is a big name, went to Kansas.
Yeah. And we know he's not going to do anything in the tournament.
Well, he's hurt right now. But like didn't have a spectacularly huge year. They were good, but never like demanded your attention. He could have been a guy that people cared about, but that didn't play out.
Okay, so we have Wooden Award finalists that just got announced, I believe, a couple days ago. So you've got Zach Edey and you've got Dalton Connect. You've got other candidates. RJ Davis, we all know, North Carolina, again, just said that.
Yeah, I have I know him.
I don't know if that's
I don't, he doesn't get into. I don't know that he gets into this list.
Jamal Shedd.
I mean, he's been there forever. No, right. And also, he's not that good. He's just not that good an offensive player. I don't think that is a
And they're a
name.
a fairly nondescript team as number one right now.
Yeah.
Tyler Kolek from Marquette.
Now, I love that
awesome
guy.
Awesome player, but I don't think people know.
Yeah.
And Caleb Love from Arizona. These are the, what am I reading here? I'm reading the, a Wooden Award finalist.
Right. Yeah, and some of the big pro prospects aren't even really tournament level, right? I know EJ, you were going over the mocks with me.
Yeah, it's this tough game of, and I think some of the problem is, quite frankly, a lot of the best guards and best wing players, those guys leave early. So we're left with good guards like R.J. Davis and Tyler Colic, but guys that are older and don't have the NBA talk. But like you talk about, again, guys who we're talking about for draft, we're talking about, you know, Dillingham from Kentucky. We're talking about Reed Sheppard from Kentucky. Those guys are awesome, and right, they're going to be top 10 picks, maybe top 5 picks, but you're not going to see them on a wooden award list.
Sorry, Kyle Filipowski's also on this list. It's a fair point.
Also, that kid, the Colorado kid, right? They're just not a great
Colt
team.
Williams, yeah.
But he might be the number one pick.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's actually Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams is his brother of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And that brings up another question back to our multiverse. Would Caitlin Clark be this big of a star? If men's college basketball was really thriving right now, would that take away from Caitlin Clark? Or has Caitlin Clark taken away from men's college basketball?
We talked about this last week. I think our multiverse is, what if you had to stay 4 years for college, right? If you're a men's college. And part of mine was, I don't think that Caitlin Clark is getting as much buzz as she gets. Because if we had all these, we went through it, how many guys who are in the NBA now would still be in college? My big thing was also, you'd have a rivalry between Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren if guys had to stay 4 years and everyone had to go to college, even if you're from a different country.
And maybe if Caitlin Clark wasn't chewing up headlines right now, some of these men we were just talking about would get a little more national pub, possibly. I mean, we'll get it in March. It is interesting to me. The topics are very connected in a weird way. Everything we're talking about, the state of men's college basketball and women's college basketball.
Andrew Bogus has headlines. What's going on today?
Quick question for you guys. Yeah. Are there any NBA conversations about current events, or are they all about the past and all-time lists? Because here's Isaiah Thomas on Draymond Green's podcast telling Draymond that he should be thankful for Kevin Durant for those two NBA titles.
Before Kevin Durant arrived in Golden State, y'all were on the verge of and being remembered as the team that went 73-9 and lost to a Cleveland Cavalier team in the finals. You up 3-1, and probably one of the biggest collapse in NBA finals history. Kevin Durant comes that summer and really saves y'all basketball legacy.
And Isaiah keeps going.
You win two championships after that. The Golden State Warriors dynasty that you're going to go into the Hall of Fame on and everything else, it is cemented. Because if Durant don't come that summer and you guys are remembered as the 73-9 team, all of your legacies are different.
So I can kind of get behind this just for the sheer fact that I think that Durant, it's a one-way street of criticism for Durant going to the Warriors. No one ever complains or points out that they wanted his help. So I could at least welcome Isaiah's argument into my argument about that.
He is trolling them in real life.
And I don't know why he did it this week on a podcast, but he did it right to Draymond's face.
The Warriors' last title kind of negated all this talk. That's the problem.
They won.
And by the way, they might have won without Durant. It's an unknown. I mean, they just won 73 games without him the year before. That's something.
No, I know it's something. But the idea that Kevin Durant can't be credited for helping them, I don't understand.
See, this is the part where I get why players today have problems with Barkley and with Shaq and Kenny and now with someone like Isaiah. To say something like, if you didn't get Kevin Durant, you would always be known as the 73-9 team. That's almost what's in some ways kind of wrong with basketball right now. It's only a ring culture. You never get credit for anything if you don't have a ring, and if you don't have as many rings as Michael Jordan or whatever. It's all like your legacy is cemented by one season. But if like, because in this alternate reality, if they never get Durant, we have to assume they still win the title in 2021. Right, 2022. Why would we ever?
Right.
Let's assume they do win another title.
Okay, but if you're doing that, aren't you acknowledging that it's disconnected from the first three? So therefore, it doesn't apply in any way to the time sequence that Isaiah's talking about right now.
No, I'm just saying, like, to say you would have never gotten over your moniker as a playoff choker is something that I think guys today hate about the NBA, is you get labeled as a bus rider or this or that, and it's like you can never change it, no matter what you do after.
But that's the point about my point about Durant is people are talking. Mm. He went there, whether he should have been the MVP or not, was at worst the second best player in pack play on back to back titles. and no one will give him credit for it.
But I think the problem, though, is that when he had his opportunity to, and he still does have an opportunity, he's still playing, he's active, but he's had his opportunity to show, hey, I am that guy still.
Brooklyn was a disaster.
First, you know, whatever those 20 games played with the Suns last year, I mean, they got smoked by Denver. It wasn't good. And I think that that's going to be something that he's going to have to get over. Look, you're right. Like, Steph and Draymond, those guys have a little bit of a grace for the fact that they won those two of the championships after they lost to the Cavs. You're totally right about that. But the fact they won, finally, getting them over the hump, it kind of moves them on from that. Whereas KD, he still holds on to that.
Mm. You know what's funny about Isaiah? He had the most famous playoff collapse, really, at this, when Bird stole the ball. I mean, what if it ended there? You say, Isaiah, well, you know, what if you guys hadn't come back and won the title? You'd be the all-time player. That was the worst collapse we've ever seen. I mean, they had the game won, and Larry Bird just took it from them. They saved their butt by winning. I think they went back-to-back.
And obviously, Durant winning another one this year, whatever, changes his dynamic, too.
That's right. That would change the whole legacy as well.
Yeah, so Isaiah could say something similar to his face if he never wins another one as well, but I don't know. I find myself clearly in an island defending Durant. I guess because I strongly defend the idea of you can go wherever you want to go.
I know what this is.
What is it?
It's everyone's about their top five lists of all time. The top five point guard list. Isaiah wants to sort of box out Curry. I mean, I think it's too late. But maybe that's what, is this about Steph Curry's legacy compared to Isaiah Thomas's legacy?
Isaiah's trying to snipe Steph Curry's legacy through Draymond Green's podcast to try to plant earworms in people's minds that maybe Curry's not as deserving.
Right,
that is diabolical.
Right. Yeah, well, he said on that podcast that
Steph Curry's not a point guard.
You know, is there another thing too where Isaiah's just like trolling them? Again, this sounds like trolling to me. He's trolling them because isn't he like a major part of the Suns right now?
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
No, I don't think, I think Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, all these, they only think about where their legacies, where they're going to be on these lists. Michael Jordan did a whole documentary just so he stayed at number one.
I'm not surprised Michael Jordan started the pandemic just to get the documentary.
Totally.
Went to Wuhan.
Isaiah's working this list. That's exactly what he's doing.
I think he's trying to stand up for Durant because the Phoenix thing.
Maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Again, sitting next to the owner. He's doing all this stuff, and I think he's trying to like, hey, it was Durant who came in and saved your ass from being known as this like all-time choker. I just, and maybe
that's true, and like I honestly, it probably is true. Like I think do the Warriors find a way to get back to a title and win one? I think they probably do. I don't think they win two, but like I don't know. I'm not giving Durant like this like, okay, you went to the best team in the NBA and you got them a championship again. Like, what's the award or what's the big achievement I'm giving him for that? I don't know.
One thing Isaiah is right about, Steph Curry is not a point guard.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
I can't. I imagine this was 90% of the talk when you guys went to the Knicks game.
I can't sat next to each other. I can't do this.
Doesn't typically the point guard lead the team in assists?
Not always.
I don't want to do this, Bogus. There's got to be another headline.
Isaiah Thomas was right.
There are actual...
Kevin Durant saved Steph Curry,
the shooting guard. Welcome aboard. See, we should be friends. Last night in the NBA, there were actual games. The Nuggets retook sole possession of first in the West for the first time since November with a 188 win in Miami. At one point in the fourth quarter, Denver's second unit was surging, but it was time for Jamal Murray and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to go back into the game. But they told Michael Malone to leave in Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown.
Part of our culture, because we do have a culture in Denver as well, part of our culture is being selfless, getting over yourself. And I think that, you know, that's another example of how our team is always getting over the individual, thinking about the collective.
Listen, the story's great. I'm here for any shots at Heat culture.
We should be talking about Nuggets culture.
I'm all for it, too.
I think it's like, it's actually Nuggets culture. It's horse culture. It's like, they're horse people. It's a horse culture. Barns, stables, that's what Jokic likes.
Horse people, like Genghis Khan?
You know, horse people.
The Septar?
Centaur?
Centaur, yeah.
They're half human, half horse people. Yeah, that's the unique culture. It's Greek mythology.
There should be a statute of limitations on when you can say you have a great culture if you've not won a title.
No. Like, oh, get out of here. Yeah, they have 11 G League players last year made the finals. That's not culture?
Well, then get some good players.
Oh, stop with the Knicks angle. There's an orange and
blue tinted
glasses.
This is the stupidest thing. You can't go there
glasses.
And say we have the roughest, the toughest, the meanest, the roughest. They sound like the EST of the NBA. Like, they're Bianca Belair. You have not won a title since the greatest player of his generation left. Get out of here with Heat culture.
Well, no, been show two finals,
stop it.
Though.
He cannot talk about the Heat. Forget it. He's,
okay, I'll talk about the Heat.
No, you can't talk about the Heat.
Here's the thing.
Too close.
They haven't won a championship. How can you talk about your culture? And that is the best in the NBA.
This is the problem with Heat culture is it's like Fight Club. Once you talk about it, you shouldn't talk about it. You can't acknowledge it on your court.
Yes,
it's got to be something. It's like a nickname. Someone else has to acknowledge your great culture. Once you do it on yourself,
that's the thing.
A little thirsty.
Timeline doesn't matter. You can't put on your jersey or your court about your culture. It doesn't work that way.
Well, luckily, no one can understand what the heck that's supposed to say on the court.
It's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like in a galaxy far away.
Yeah. It's hard to read.
A galaxy far, far away, Dwayne Wade was taken with the 5th overall pick.
Yeah.
And it changed the course of Miami Heat basketball forever.
If they didn't have that culture, they would be the 3rd worst team in the NBA. That is a non-talented
team.
You know
why they are the way they are.
Remind me to never go to a game with you two.
Why? Why?
Well, Pat Riley is giving Eric Spoelstra the ultimate green light to really coach a team.
Oh, jeez.
And that's a big, Eric Spoelstra is a great coach, but he never has any threat to being fired. And guess what? You keep bringing in G League guys who can be cut any minute. Those guys are going to play hard for you.
And I always think that the shadow of Pat Riley is still a factor. But anyway.
Yeah, he scares me.
Pat Riley, of course.
Pat Riley's the most intimidating human being
that's
in sports, no matter
man.
How old he is.
Don't mess with Schenectady. It's a rough and tumble place.
Isn't that culture, though?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, exactly.
No, but it's not a culture that you can talk about as being the best culture in the NBA nonstop all the time.
If they're winning and they're making the playoffs.
Oh, you can. No, Pete, and I love you. You cannot be the guy who's talking about, they're winning. They're losers. No. They don't win championships.
Oh, yeah.
You are second place as the first loser guy.
Right. They are losers, technically, but their culture is that of one that makes playoffs.
And you said that doesn't matter.
Only when it's the Jets.
And by the way, EJ described a scenario that sounded a lot like culture as well. You're like, well, he can coach them hard and they can all listen to him. I'm like, yeah,
no,
it sounds
it's not
like culture
about,
to me.
It's not about the fact you can say you have heat. You can say whatever the hell you want. It's this mythology about somehow that they are doing this incredible thing. You think they were a dynasty. They haven't won a championship. The last time they won a championship, they had two of the greatest players of the last 30 years in the NBA.
EJ, but they're making the finals against teams that are, when they're beating teams that are way more talented on paper than they are. And they're beating the Bucks, and they're beating the Heat, and they're beating the Celtics, they're beating the Bucks, they're beating the 76ers.
I'm sorry. Jimmy Butler has been a multiple-time All-Star. Bam Adebayo is a lottery pick. Tyler Hero is a lottery pick. Yes, they have role players who are second-round picks, whatever. Every team has that. Every team has guys that are cast-offs. Every team has guys that nobody wanted. But this idea that the Heat, because we keep underestimating them because they take off the regular season and they decide to play hard in the playoffs, and we say, oh, no, we got to bow down to them because they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Give me a break.
Well, they made the finals.
You put it on your court. Come on.
Well, putting it on the court.
All right. Tyler Hero was a 13th pick, and Bam Adebayo was a 14th pick. The second he said lottery, I'm like, ooh, they must have been at the end of the lottery for EJ to use that talking point.
They are lottery picks.
They're top three guys. They're not the 80s Lakers.
They're lottery picks, which means, guess what? They sucked, and they were in the lottery, and that's why they got those guys. What happened those years when they were – where was Heat culture when they didn't have those guys?
You know why they're playing well? Because of Heat culture. Go ahead, brother.
Penn State football coach James Franklin might have a big mouth.
Oh.
Talking about former Nittany Lion Saquon Barkley joining the Eagles, Franklin said the running back spoke to GM Howie Roseman directly on Monday, which is not allowed during the legal tampering period. The Eagles deny all tampering allegations. The league has not yet commented.
So a Division I college football coach just caught out the Eagles for tampering?
By accident.
Isn't there any kind of bro code among coaches here? What happened?
Yeah, especially because Penn State's Philadelphia's team, according to Berloff and nobody else.
Good job, James.
Saquon Barkley, that is ridiculous. Of course Penn State is a Philadelphia team. 90% of Penn State kids come from Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. It is totally a Philadelphia team.
Well, now he just hurt your team.
Yeah. I don't understand why James Franklin did this. I mean, I understand James Franklin blowing a big game. I'm used to that. But why is he going after an NFL team?
Well, he has to screw up everyone else's designs, too.
Yeah, probably he's spreading his wings.
I think he's hoping to be the next New York Giants head coach.
He wants to pay it forward.
Yeah. I mean, James Franklin losing to Ohio State or Michigan, that's normal. This is not normal. Jerk.
I'd be upset too. That's annoying. That is going to be a fine, unnecessary fine for the Eagles coming.
Yeah, a draft pick.
That's a draft pick.
Yep.
He said James Franklin. I mean, I get. By the way, Kirk Cousins also caused a firestorm too.
Because he said he was talking to the trainer or something.
And Kyle Pitts.
He said he was talking to Kyle Pitts a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Eesh.
Darn. Tampering. Well, the players is not. I don't think that's a.
Players can tamper.
Is it? I thought that it was just that only your agent's supposed to be able to talk to the team. Right?
Yeah, but I think player to player tampering is a thing, but it's probably harder to prove than the team.
Turn off your phone, Kirk.
I think players on other teams do work out in the offseason.
Yeah.
So they're interacting.
Also, they have the same agent. I mean, you're right. Sure. That's a good point. It's a totally different thing. And also, it wasn't another coach. Fire James Franklin. I'm going to say it.
College, too.
With your CBS Sports Minute.
Yeah. Goes out coast to coast. It's 500 radio stations.
This is Andrew Perloff. Fire James Franklin. This is Andrew Perloff.
Fly, birds, fly.
No contest. It's a 5-second sports minute. I'm Andrew Perloff. James Franklin is a moron. He should be fired. And I'm Andrew Perloff.
Fly that banner over Happy Valley.
Yeah, right. Rent a helicopter.
I need to cut a sentence there.
Yeah. Probably be my most logical sports minute in months, by the way.
We'd get letters.
Yeah. It's weird. You have 25 seconds to talk, getting advanced analytics. Yeah. So his DVOA in 1997 was no.
You got to do that one day.
Yeah.
You have to.
Fire James Franklin.
Normally you're on fast forward. They'd stretch you out to fire James.
Right, to hit the time.
By the way, Maggie, don't look at me. You're just like me.
My sports minutes are also a George Lucas script.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was Cowboys.
We have about 23 seconds of content. And I've been listening to Maggie do a 5.5-minute... Abe Lincoln type speech. 4 score and 7 years ago, the Dallas Cowboys came upon free agency.
Turn the page. Let me tell you about grit. Meanwhile, we gotta go. Bogish, thank you so much. Sheesh, look at the time.
Thanks, Bogish.
Thank you, Andrew Bogish. Coming up, college football news. We'll get to that next. Don't move.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Today's multiverse, what if, what could have been, is what if Caitlin Clark had gone to UConn instead of gone to Iowa, would we be having the same bump? But we just stumbled upon our next multiverse, spoiler alert. What if KD had never gone to the Warriors? Because that's taken center stage today. Brian is in Oakland. We're talking about Isaiah Thomas went on Draymond Green's podcast. Let me flesh this out a little more. Isaiah Thomas went on Draymond Green's podcast and said, if you guys never got Kevin Durant, you'd always be known as the team that choked away a 73-9 season and choked away the finals to the Cavs. Brian is in Oakland, wants to weigh in. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, Maggie. Hey, Perloff. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, just a sad Oakland fan over here. All my teams are leaving me.
Sorry about that.
But, no, I actually wanted to tie in. I'll take the question off the air. You were talking about great NBA coaches, Eric Spoelstra. I wanted to get your thoughts on, do you think Steve Kerr would be the guy he is if he didn't have the team that he has? You know, he was that year that he was not there in the beginning and Luke Walton took over. They went 25-0. And then he went on to become the Lakers coach and had no success. So I guess my question is, do you think Steve Kerr would still be the guy if he didn't have all of those superstars with him?
Good question. I don't think any of these coaches are who they are without superstars. I don't think Phil Jackson is who he is without superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
Kerr, I think basketball lends itself to that.
I think, well, Kerr was a great broadcaster. I think he was pretty good as a Suns GM. I'd have to double check that.
I don't think
he I thought he was.
Yeah,
they
went to the conference finals.
Was he 3 years there?
I think he made some real good moves when he was with the Suns.
All right, we'll
I
go back
he was
to that.
Well
but anyway.
Thought of. He's yeah. I,
oh, you're trying to establish he's been good everywhere he's gone.
Well, that's really only that. Yeah. Has he hasn't done anything else because he was also a broadcaster.
Yep.
I mean, listen, we all know, and you know this, Maggie. Broadcaster gives you a legacy boost as a coach. If you're good, like Stan Van Gundy is. Getting better and better by the year that he's in the booth. Actually, not Sam. Jeff Van Gundy. I think Steve Kerr has been pretty good. So I'm not sure I totally agree with that. And he said Luke Walton.
Well, so Luke Walton filled in when Steve Kerr had his back surgery.
Yeah.
And they were great.
Well, there was a lot that Golden State had these analytics and these tech guys, and they did a lot of things to build that dynasty. It wasn't just one guy. Yeah. I think the owners always take credit for this too, and Bob Myers.
Think about it. Listen, again, I don't think any of these coaches are who they are without stars.
No, and especially in basketball.
Yeah. It's that
except for
of
heat
sport.
Culture, though. Sorry, EJ.
855-212-4CBS. Okay, lots to do, including a head-scratching moment from the NFL. And we promise we'll get to this college football story. We will do that. Maggie Perloff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.